In October 2019, Arlington, Texas was chosen to be the home of a new national museum, unlike any other. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a unique home of military history. The 100,000 square foot museum will house exhibits, archives, and artifacts relating to the 3,500 U.S. troops who have been awarded the medal, the nation's highest honor for valor in combat. The museum will have 31,000 square feet of galleries dedicated to U.S. troops who have received the award. The museum CEO, former Navy SEAL and NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy, said the museum will focus on education as much as preservation. The building will have five areas dedicated to Medal of Honor winners from the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. The main gallery will be located in a central plaza under a 25,000 square foot slab of steel, which will appear to be suspended in midair. It will be supported by five pillars. Black Rifle Coffee is a corporate sponsor of the museum, as are the Dallas Cowboys. The museum's board also includes over a dozen major corporations and six Medal of Honor recipients, including David Bellavia, Patrick Brady, and Britt Slabinski. Army Staff Sergeant Bellavia was awarded the medal for clearing an entire house by himself on November 10, 2004, as a squad leader in support of Operation Phantom Fury in Fallujah, Iraq. He killed four enemy fighters and wounded a fifth in close quarters battle. Army Major General Brady flew and coordinated the evacuation of 51 seriously wounded men during a firefight in Vietnam in January 1968. Slabinski, a Navy SEAL chief and team leader, led a rescue team of SEALs during Operation Anaconda in Afghanistan in March 2002. Slabinski and his team flew to a mountaintop ambush site to rescue Petty Officer First Class Neil Roberts, who had fallen from the back of a helicopter. Slabinski led the team through almost constant combat against an entrenched Taliban force. Along with the board members, former presidents Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama serve as honorary directors. The museum is expected to open to the public in late 2024.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Fit Nation. Fit Nation. We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their story to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share some of your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you're a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and share how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and just share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle, or are embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast apps and also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date with our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to our Tuesday After Dinner show. We have a good one tonight. A Navy veteran's coming on. But first, we'd like to start the show off by remembering the two SEALs we lost, Special Operations 1 SEAL Chris Chambers and SO2 Gage Ingram. As I told you the other night, they were declared deceased after the search was not fruitful in finding them off the coast of Somalia. Also, this weekend, we lost a young staff sergeant to the darkness, Staff Sergeant Michelle Young. Your battle is over. We'll have to watch from now.
May you rest now, rest easy until Valhalla. So our guest tonight is author. He's a U.S. Navy veteran, author, and award-winning journalist that has sold more than 1,200 copies of his debut book, The Second Son. So without further ado, let's welcome Christoph Morrow to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Christoph.
Hi. Thank you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome to get you on here. Glad we're able to meet. And the internet makes it a lot easier for us to meet each other, too. And being a Navy veteran, thank you for what you do with the Navy as a corpsman. If you don't mind, tell us a little more from as far back as you want to go to how we got to where we are today.
Shakespeare. As far as my military service goes, which seems to be relevant part of this show, of course, I was a kid when, like, and this might sound cheesy to people, but maybe not to veterans. I saw the movie Saving Private Ryan, and when I saw the corpsman running through fire past, like, the hedgehogs, you know, and to perform rescue care, I thought that was extraordinary and worth celebrating and worth doing. It would make your life worthwhile, I felt like. I always had that sort of the notion that public service was a large part of what I wanted to do, not just as a writer, but as a corpsman and, you know, as a civilian. Shakespeare. I joined right out of high school. When I was about 20, I had something that looked like a seizure, and when I was at my first duty station in at Naval Air Station, Jacksonville, Florida. I was working at the hospital there, they didn't know what it was. But I wasn't deployable anymore. I would have been basically on duty, like duty roster, for the next 4 years, 5 years. So, I was like, nah, no, thank you. I tried to go to school, and I went to a couple of colleges, and I won some awards for fiction and for poetry at two different schools. And then I taught myself to write, of course, because I didn't go to school for it. And then when I was about 27, I got a job as a reporter at a newspaper. I had to audition for the position. I got the job because I don't have a journalism degree. And then I won an award for feature writing and for photography from two different Texas Press Associations Shakespeare. And then I moved to Canada with my ex, but we moved to Alberta and then British Columbia. And that's where I live now in Vancouver.
And you started, do you still do journalism up in Canada now, or freelance?
No, I'm not really in. I never really was into it. I enjoyed it but marshaling facts and trying to describe reality in a way that was at a certain reading level, and you're very limited. It's a lot more limited than people realize, I think. No, because you're given a lot of direction generally, depending on the size of the paper.
And most media outlets want you to write in their verse, in their word verbiage, not your own, so that you're staying along the lines with their, I guess, what they believe is their base. So that you can't really, like you said, you can't have that free thought, that free thinking, or come to your own conclusion. You have to have a conclusion before you start the story.
Yeah, and they do, like, other things. If the paper itself, the way it's formatted, it'll, like, highlight certain views. Like, you know. So, yeah. Shakespeare.
So your book went viral after you were on TikTok. Did you do something on TikTok? You didn't dance, I hope, but did you do just a reading of your book on there or something?
Nothing that would shed dignity or blemish my dignity, right? I take my work very seriously. I love my work. I just, when I describe it, I say that I love my work. I love my work more than the sum of my love for all other things. And so it was really important for me to do it well. And so on October 16, 2021, the British Columbian government told me that that my condition was such that I wouldn't be able to, like, they couldn't find me employment at a regular place. So they said that I should just write again. And then within 10 minutes of hanging up on that phone, I started working on my book. And I wrote the book the first draft in 2.5 months. Wow. And it was 162,000 words, which, if just to give you guys like some perspective, The Hobbit is 98,000 words. So it's almost double the length of The Hobbit, and I did it in 2.5 months. the rewrite took a great deal longer, more than a year and a half, I think. But Shakespeare. And one of my tics is I say Shakespeare, who I admire a great deal, one of the greatest writer in English literature. Anyway, I lost my train of thought there. Sorry, Rich.
You're talking about your rewrite and
Oh yeah.
You explained your tic about paying homage to Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah, I finished the first draft and then I worked on the second draft for like another year and a half. And what happened was how I went viral is Shakespeare. So it was a faintly, very, very, very faintly orchestrated event. Because the way it sort of happened was that I was just it was within 3 weeks of when I started my TikTok account. So for the first 3 weeks, Shakespeare, all I did was discuss my Tourette's and without discussing my work as a writer at all whatsoever. And then after 3 weeks, I learned that I could make my book for free for like 5 days. So I made my book for free. And around that time, I got my first review from a stranger. Who this woman is now very dear to me. She's she works pediatrics emergency in a hospital, and she's really very lovely. She's kind of like my young aunt. That's how she wants me to describe her. She's a young aunt to me. She's helped me so much, and she loved my book, and she reached out to me, and Shakespeare. She made a video. As a consequence of that video that she made, two people bought my book the next day. And I made a video about that. Okay. Now the next morning, this is the third day now. The next morning, when I woke up, I saw that I had sold a bunch of books, and I was number like 247 on the Epic Fantasy category, which is an extraordinary feat. Like when you literally have zero fans. Like there's no one reading my book. No one knew who I was at all whatsoever. I made a video about that, and that went viral. I have about almost 400,000 views for that one. And then I had a bunch of videos after that. And I've gotten over 1 million-something views on all my videos. Shakespeare. The book happened to be free digitally. Wow. And so, yeah. Right. So it really encouraged a lot of people to buy it. About a third of them were physical copies, which was very encouraging. That's basically how it happened.
I mean thankfully you didn't do anything that was disparaging to yourself, and it was just pure mm-hmm. unsolicited review mm-hmm. comes in. You post that review and it creates that momentum, and that's mm-hmm. awesome that it worked out for you getting mm-hmm. the 1200 going viral. That's pretty awesome right there to get your book going that high. And then when you in the 200s in the bestseller list of that category, that genre, I looked at mm-hmm. my numbers the other day. I was surprised where they were too, as well, in my book, because I never really looked at them until I had guests on and say, talk about the numbers. So let me look at my numbers. I have to find where they are. I looked up, so I'm not doing bad for a first time, fiction writer, so
hey,
next book will be better. Next step, so
Shakespeare. That's awesome. I know that feeling. It feels like there's gold in your lungs.
Yeah. Just smile. Look at your baby in your hands. That's, look what we're doing together. We're moving forward. Do you have a idea for a maybe a second book coming out, or did you already write another 150,000 words?
I've written over 100,000 words. Yeah, on my next book. Shakespeare. I'm very disciplined. And you're right, Rich. Like a large part of it was like not making a spectacle, you know, of myself and of my profession, because I am very serious about my work. I am very serious about my work, and which for me is like a necessary part of my personality, I think. Because it is a very solemn thing, I feel like. And so doing well, especially now, like I've gotten a lot of really outrageous and very flattering reviews from people I've never met. And it was when I started I started volume three. I've also written a kid's book, which is called Liam Earns a Friend. It's a Christmas book. It's just about a kid that finds a dinosaur egg, and when it hatches, he takes it back to the mother, and the mother says that all of her other eggs they died, they didn't make it, and so this one egg is the only one. So it's a grief. It's about grief, and about like he wants to play with the kid, but it's a whole thing. Anyway, it's really quite cute. The one I'm working on right now is volume three of my book. That's an epic fantasy. But it's really literature that's dressed in epic fantasy, because I found that epic fantasy for me is it lends itself to like really allowing you to describe reality that we live in without like alluding to it directly, which is really great. There's like no racism or sexism, which is like really important for me, because like I want it to be adventure for everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just baggage. So. Shakespeare.
So you've been on. You mean you had a pretty good journey in life as well. I mean, you grew up in an abusive family because your parents were both suffered through some form of addiction, and then you yourself were on with drinking alcohol, and you got yourself sober to kind of battle with what your Tourette syndrome now, and also become the clear-headed writer you are as now as well. You're the first person in your family, first one of your siblings to graduate high school as the youngest. That's an accomplishment there. I guess you've seen what they did and you didn't want to do that. Let me finish that. Let me stare stuff and get past them. And then you realize that maybe school's not for me, because school's not for everybody after that level.
No. Yeah.
That's something you have to realize in the world, that not everyone can go to college or should go to college.
Yeah.
There's other things out there. And you found the path just by teaching yourself, basically, to become that writer by reading and writing, and that's a testament to your discipline right there.
Yeah, it really is. I love my work, and I was the third born, so like and out of four, I have a little brother. He also graduated high school, which, you know, by the skin of his teeth, I think too. So I didn't, you know, just if anybody is concerned, you know, like I'm somebody that didn't do well in school at all. Shakespeare. I think I graduated with a 2.25 GPA. I was like fifth from the bottom of my class. And this was not a competitive school, but I was dealing with a lot. I was dealing with a lot emotionally. My mother actually married a dude that's like 20 years younger than her. And the worst. Not a good situation. Yeah, it was really hard in high school until I went to the Navy with my friend who I sort of lived with, his family, at the end of our school year, because I couldn't live with my mother anymore. Shakespeare. It was a really wild time, but it ended up, I learned a lot being in the Navy. It's really, you know, it's a lot more boring than people think, like the boot camp anyway. You think it's it's really eventful and like it's a lot. No, in the Navy anyway, it's pretty tame. And I heard now you can't even yell or something anymore.
Probably not, believe me. I don't know. It changes daily. So
yeah, Shakespeare.
I think all the armed forces now do things a little differently. The Marines probably don't. They probably still have the same script that they go by to rip the brain out.
Try to stop them. Try to stop them. That's all I'm saying. Those guys are crazy. You know?
Did your friend stay in the Navy, or is he out as well now?
Yeah, he was deployed a few times. I think he was a corpsman also. And we're still very dear friends. Like we did the buddy system, the buddy program or whatever.
So we went into boot camp together. Mm-hmm. You get the rank. He got the rank.
Yeah, he got to go to boot camp, and then we got to and then after that we went to core school together. And then and then we diverged after that because I think he went West Coast, I think. Yeah, Shakespeare.
Yeah, after you said 2.25, I was going to say something along the same line Rosa just said. She said even C's get diplomas and degrees. So 2.25 is still graduating. I was going to say, a person in medical school with a D is still a doctor. So.
Yeah, what do you call a person that graduated last in medical school? A doctor.
Doctor. So I love that. Navy doctor or Army doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what you get right there. Have you thought maybe of writing a book about service members, or just stay with the genre you're staying in?
You know what? I actually discussed that in my book anyway, because there's military troops in the book, and one of the things that I like refer to is that whenever someone is they're in the military and they lose someone that's important to them, especially like a family member or something. It's really hard for them to stay like emotionally consistent. Like it's safe, emotionally safe. It's a really, because your planet, like your planet of existence, like it you orbit your family, like you, in terms of like your, like living and how you cope with being deployed and all that. And with violence and everything, it's really about, like, keeping that connection with the family important. It's really important. It's a large part. And so many other, I mean, there's so many other qualities to it that I refer to in the book that about like what part of like military service is like. And the camaraderie that's born from it. It's really bizarre. It's very close. It's weirdly comfortable. Yeah.
Very, very comfortable and very locker roomish. Yes.
Yeah, it's very. It's necessary though. You ain't got much space. Right. And you ain't got much time.
At all.
You gotta get things done.
Mm. Very, very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. I know in your bio it says that. You were in a Naval Air Station Jacksonville, and then you were in Louisiana, and now you're in British Columbia. But there's plenty of other places you've been in between there, or in within that realm. What's some of the best places that you've been to during your travels?
Oh man. actually there's so many lovely places like all over the US. You know what? Idaho is actually a lot more beautiful than people realize. I don't know if you've ever been there, but like there in the mountains, it's gorgeous. It's crazy. It's crazy pretty. It's really there's nothing there. But the nothing that's there is gorgeous. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's beautiful. Like it's a lot of like all the roads like wind through mountains and rivers like are like, running alongside on the interstates and stuff. I've lived all over. Like I've lived in Oklahoma, obviously near Chicago and Great Lakes, where I was stationed. Florida. I lived in upstate New York for a while, like right on the Great Lakes. I think Lake Erie. I don't remember which lake is up there. And it was a really cool little town. And I've traveled a lot out of plain curiosity. Shakespeare. Yeah, CJ, it is. It's crazy. It's weird. It's you never think like nobody talks about Idaho, but that's like the one. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place. Hmm.
Most people hear Idaho, they think potatoes, and then yeah. Boise State University.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The blue mm-hmm. field.
Shakespeare.
I actually had an interpreter from Afghanistan when he came to the States to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He settled in Idaho. That was his first choice to go to Idaho.
I said, what?
I don't understand.
How? I am bewildered by that.
Went right to Boise. Now he lives in Washington, D.C., but that was his first stop was Idaho, Boise. I was like, wow, okay. Good choice, I guess.
Yeah. If you haven't been to D.C., anyone, you and seen the Lincoln Memorial, it's an incredible incredible place. And it's really cool. It's really quite cool. Yeah. All the monuments and stuff.
Yeah. If you take the time to absorb it and push the school children out of your way, it's beautiful there. And best time to go is about this time of year, because there's not as many school trips right now.
So, in DC?
Yeah.
And it's not as hot.
Yeah. That too. Yes.
It's a swamp town, y'all.
Very hot. Very, very hot there.
Yeah.
This time of year, like December or January, the school trips have slowed down a little bit, and you pretty much can go into all the museums, into all the monuments, and of course the Washington Monument and all the other memorials that are there, and possibly get close to the White House without protesters. So it's probably the best time of year to go.
Yeah, man, it's funny that I was there during the 2020 election. It was a clash. It was a clash of clans, yo. It was a clash of clans. I ain't never seen anything like it. It was crazy.
So, Christoph, if you could give advice to anyone that's in the audience that wants to write a book, what would that be?
Oh, so much. I actually do free writing tutoring. I do like one-on-one, and it's free, and we do like at least an hour, and we go like word for word over. Even some of my students are actually English teachers, and I did not get a degree, and I teach English teachers now. So. My advice would be to have a comprehensive understanding of the world, because when you know what's going on, like you know how things are connected, you can create connections that inspire even you. So it's an important part of understanding like how reality works, so you can describe it in a way that is compelling, and true, and reliable. Yeah, and also it will be unique because it is your perspective, you know. Also, I would say the first draft of any book, you don't write prose. There's no emotion in it. Don't do any of that. You just events, you know, like move from one event to the next. Dialogue, yeah, it of course is a part of it, but it's really about establishing like what's happening so that you can later extrapolate the philosophies that you that you hope to impart.
Awesome. And how does someone, if they do want to take your free writing course or free writing classes with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, Shakespeare. Yeah, Shakespeare. I'm on social media, right? So I have, you can email me, or you can at christophmorrow@gmail.com. Or you can also Shakespeare. You can also find me on social media and write me, and I will write you back. I get a lot of messages, but I'm really diligent about connecting with people, because that's what my work is about anyway. John Steinbeck, one of the greatest American writers ever. He wrote Grapes of Wrath, East of Eden, Of Mice and Men. You guys probably maybe have heard of it. Of course. He said his whole mission as a writer is to help people understand one another, and I'm the same. Shakespeare.
Mm. Awesome. So, audience, make sure, Misfit Nation, if you want to get some helpful tips from Christoph, go to christophmorrow@gmail.com or Christoph Morrow on most of the social media outlets. He'll be on there. You can find him on TikTok, of course. He's the viral sensation on TikTok without dancing, without showing any of his body parts, and. and which just being so right.
I made an ad, Rich. I don't need to tell you. I don't know if you've seen this, but I made an ad for my book, and I said I'm not wearing a shirt, but you can't see anything because I have a book in front of me. And I said I've been going to some advertising seminars and learning how maybe I can sell some more books. So you guys might see some new strategies that I'm gonna deploy in the near future. It'll be pretty noticeable, and then you can, and it's covered. You can't see it, of course, anything, but it's still, well, yeah, just being silly.
I'm sure that got a lot of views though. So
no, you know what?
That one did
less
it.
Less than you think. Not a flattering number. Not a flattering number of views, honestly.
Well, outstanding, Christoph. It's been great chatting with you tonight. Thanks for jumping on from British Columbia tonight, and we can't wait to see your next works. When those come out, let us know. We'll bring you back on to chat it up.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Hoorah.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Obtaining one is easy. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.